We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Mina Kimes, Tim Kalishaw, David Dennis Jr., Pablo Estore. While you people worry about what a pro wants and what a pro needs, the pros we deserve, the Thunder are rolling. Pacers, Knicks, any of you could actually say their names today, give them credit. And the end of the line for the Lakers, what now, what next, and what's up with LeBron? And what was that exchange with the fan last night as well? Let's go around the horn.
When your mentions are sitting courtside, it is a little tricky that way.
Jamal Murray is a big game hunter. Lives for these moments, huh? His postseason resume is glorious. Hearing that Mike Malone and management said, maybe you should sit this one out, get your calf healthier, he said, I'll play and win it, is awesome. The two shots he won games with in this series tells you again how close the Nuggets and Lakers were this time around, but Denver, of course, moves on. Tim, I want you on the champs first. Do you see a team knowing they can do what it takes when it matters to win, or do you see a team with some things to work through this postseason?
Oh, I don't think there's a lot to work through. I think the competition is going to be pretty fierce, and you know, when they go on to the next round. But if that's injured Jamal Murray, I think they can live with injured Jamal Murray throughout the playoffs. Michael Porter is playing at a much higher level than he did in the postseason a year ago. 67% effective field goal percentage on his jump shots. That gives them a third huge scoring option, you know, beyond the best player in the league and Jamal Murray. So I don't have a lot of concerns for Denver right now. They figured out a way to come back from all those deficits but one, and so they were never really challenged.
David, to hear the Lakers led 69% of this series and to know that they had to come back in every game, anything to see there with the Nuggets, or are they just plugging along?
I think there's a little bit to see here that's kind of concerning. Let's start with the good, though. In 9 clutch minutes in this series, the Nuggets had a 162 offensive efficiency rating. That is 40 points better than the number one in the regular season. The only problem with that is that you don't want a lot of those clutch minutes. There's far too many of those clutch minutes in a series that is 2-7 where you feel like they were the better team. As you mentioned, they trailed for so much this series, took 2 game winners. They had laid an egg in game 4. You kind of wanted to see a more dominant game or performance from them against this Lakers squad, and they will have the, you know, veteran advantage, but you want to see them put together a complete game at some point instead of having to rely on those fantastic clutch minutes.
Pablo, how'd you review the Nuggets first round?
Yeah, look, to me, criticizing the Nuggets at this point, it kind of is like those people who are pointing out how Margot Robbie's face has these flaws. Like, run it through this golden ratio, and she's not perfect. It's like they won 4-1, Tony. We can pick nits. We can pick out little things. The point is, you're taking conventionally one of the most popular and best and greatest teams that exists in recent memory and saying, but what if they didn't win 4 games to 1? And to me, I'm just not worried about it. We're picking small little things. Now, Jamal Murray, if I am frustrated on his behalf, it's the fact that he has not been an all-star or an all-NBA player in his career, and yet he does the thing where he turns into Tony Parker at the end, running a 2-man game with Jokic, where it's basically Tony Parker and Tim Duncan. Yeah. That guy will get his respect to come, but the fact that he's doing it in this way is part of his legend. That's
and Mina,
really is.
The Nuggets advancing. Did they show you everything you need to see from the champs?
I don't think it's picking nits to observe that while they're still obviously very strong, credible, and clutch, they're not as dominant as they were last year. Talked about, you know, not having a lead. In this first round series, they finished with a net rating of plus 3.7. Zach Cram at The Ringer put together a chart showing the net ratings of the first rounders eventual champions, and that would be the lowest of any team, any eventual champion in the last 10 years. In fact, it's half of what they finished with last season in the first round. I would be concerned that in a game last night where Jamal Murray finally had that scoring explosion, where he shot so well from three, you still barely won. MPJ looks great, but I feel like that jumper is going to come back to earth. And of course, the Wolves await them with their incredible defense, and they have looked far more dominant than the Nuggets.
All right, something to look forward to. But before we do that, let's look back at the Lakers that were. What now and what to be for this team, just as LeBron was declining to say if that was his last game with the Lakers. The Athletic and Shams Charania are reporting the Lakers are open to drafting Bronny this year to fulfill James' dream to play with his son. So consider that, and then let's just look at our Bill Plaschke's column in the LA Times. Lakers stuck in mediocre hell with no hope in sight. And then there was this very odd exchange that some noticed. The gesticulations there from LeBron with a fan, and this whole team had gesticulations and vibrations that were kind of hard to read all season. Around the horn to David Dennis Jr. now on What Now for the Lakers.
What now for the Lakers in the immediate is Darvin Ham is probably going to be gone. There's just too much smoke to that fire and too many complaints at the end of this series talking about how he's been doing. They would hopefully take a look at Rob Pelinka, too, because of the way that this team has deteriorated over the last few years is a direct comes from what he was doing to
so you're
take
blowing
away
up
that
the whole after management and upper levels of this team. Coach, GM, you think that's where we have to be for the Lakers?
Well, I think the players have said enough about Darvin Ham to indicate that he's gone, but I would hope that Rob Pelinka gets some looking at also. But in terms of LeBron James, we are in the climax and the culmination of the LeBron James past regressive calendar where he is now threatening to leave and talking about being noncommittal about staying. But there is some there because he knows that this team, this was their best shot. Anthony Davis was as healthy as he's ever been. LeBron played 70 games. This team looked to be as healthy as they are going to be. And while I do think he's probably going to stay with the Lakers long term, the Olympics are coming up, and you're going to hear some of that same talk of LeBron, talking to some other teammates and where he's going to go and a lot of threatening to leave and things like that. So we're in the LeBron James offseason, we see every
Pablo
year.
Pablo Torre?
Yeah, imagine you're LeBron James right now. You had an amazing postseason. You played better than anybody thought you would at this age especially. And you have a $51 million option that you could choose to pick up or decline. And so, of course, he's not going to do it. Of course, he'll do what he does every year, which is use all available leverage, including leaks, public pressure, to get what he wants. And clearly, nobody on the Lakers is feeling good about Darvin Ham being part of what LeBron James wants, nor would any of the other players seem to want either, to David's point. So to me, Tony, this is predictable. And on the scale of, concern, just look at Magic Johnson's Twitter account. He is in all caps, something must be done mode. If Magic Johnson is tweet-storming about you, just know that you've lost the most positive person who exists
Maybe
on
true.
Your side.
But let's pull the string more. What can be done with this team in this offseason? Bill Plaschke seems to think there's nothing that can be done. Mina Kimes, around the horn to you.
Yeah, mediocre hell with no hope in sight to
repeat
what he said. I don't agree with that. I think that's a little bit harsh, especially because mediocre hell implies that they were bad. And as we just discussed with the Nuggets, they were actually quite good, which is part of the why they gave the Nuggets such a hard time. But I think David makes an excellent point about the fact that that might have been the best possible iteration of the Lakers. Healthy Anthony Davis, who was amazing until he got hurt. LeBron was amazing, too, and so was Reeves. When we look at how they could potentially upgrade on that, their options are fairly limited. Moving on from Darvin Ham seems inevitable. It does seem like the correct decision. I have to think, obviously, they want to improve the backcourt. We're going to hear Trae Young's name a lot. It's an upgrade, but is it an upgrade sufficient to take on the likes of the Nuggets, the Wolves, OKC? I don't think so. And for me, the next phase in all of this is, frankly, the Summer Olympics, because Brown's going to be in recruiting mode and every picture is going to be overanalyzed to death.
Mm-hmm. And Tim Kalishaw.
The funny thing about Magic criticizing the Lakers, he got on them for the one thing that they're actually good at this year, which was player availability. Austin Reeves played 82 games. Anthony Davis played a career high 76. LeBron was over 70. D'Angelo Russell, 76. The chances of repeating that next season are lower than David Dennis' net rating in this segment. So I think you have to look at it from that frame point. You have to look at it from that standpoint and say, what can we really do with LeBron? And is that Bronny idea even palatable?
Let's talk about that.
To fans?
Is that good business or bad business? To say, we'll draft your
really
son and we'll keep you. How is that, Tim, to you?
Yeah, I mean, are Laker fans really excited at just turning the franchise that's won whatever it is, 16 NBA titles, over to the LeBron family hour. I just don't think that's something that is going to – it's not going to work. It's not going to do anything. But I can't believe
Pablo,
that's
good
the direction they'd want to go.
Or bad business? Because previously they gave, well, a lot of money, let's say, to Kobe Bryant in the last years of his contract to keep him happy. Can you see it as good business to hold on to LeBron to say we'll draft his son or not?
Beyond good, it's obvious. Of course you do this. Of course you give the last slot on your team to this guy. If you're going to hire an Antetokounmpo brother, whoever's out there just to keep Giannis, of course you do the same thing for LeBron when you need him this desperately. It's not a question to me.
We've been horned. We'll move on to tonight because the Pacers and the Knicks look to close out round one. For Milwaukee, Giannis, Lillard, questionable. For Philly, Embiid, he missed shoot-around today with a migraine. So add that on top of everything he's going through. He's questionable. You scientists are so preoccupied with whether or not they could play, you never stop to think of who's actually leading the series. Pablo Torre, what are you watching for tonight?
Yeah, I'm watching for Joel Embiid, Tony. I've been watching him for about a decade at this point, waiting for him to become the guy he was promised to be, which is simply healthy at this point, honestly. Like, I would take a healthy version of Joel to then critique, but currently the critique is wrapped up in the fact that his body is broken. But in elimination games, he is his worst self. Hasn't won one in three straight elimination games, plays below his mark, 36% from the field, I believe. I've seen him struggle every fourth quarter in this series, and it hurts me to say it, but he doesn't come up big when the pressure is on. And so I'm watching for whether he'll show up, literally, and in this case also
figuratively.
Yeah, I think Embiid is the one to watch because of the fourth quarter allegations that Pablo alludes to. But also he's coming off a game where he played the entire second half, which he has never done before.
Yes.
And is very concerning, of course, given his history. And then on the other side of the ball, it must be acknowledged, Jalen Brunson playing like an absolute superstar. And to see if he can continue that to close this one out.
Good, Kalisha.
I'm watching Milwaukee win tonight, which I think means Lillard would have to play. And Middleton will get his 40 shots, and hopefully that equates to 40 points for the Bucks. But I really don't think Philadelphia, I mean, they didn't have the home crowd in Philadelphia. When they go to New York, it's just going to be a Knicks parade tonight. I think it's over. I know they could have won, and they feel like they should have won game two with the two-minute report and all, but this isn't game two. This is elimination, and I think the Knicks.
David Dennis Jr.
Pardon me for honing in on a team that's actually up 3-1.
Thank you.
For this question. This is the Indiana Pacers.
Thank you.
120 points in three straight games in this series now before there's any threat of Lillard or even Giannis getting healthy and coming back
Amazing
and getting ready to go play New York.
That I can mute you guys in advance and you still, it took us the fourth panelist just to mention the name of the Pacers. A little bit of Knicks love, but come on, people. We'll take a break here. Buy or sell on the other side.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
Two goals wiped off the board for goalie interference. You don't see that often. You don't see that often in the playoffs. And you don't see that often in an elimination game. Tampa is out, run out in the series by Florida in five. And it was a 6-1 game with a couple empties tacked on, but it was these two disallowed goals that coach John Cooper took umbrage with. He said Bobrovsky quit on the play and flailed and embellished and went on to say, our net front battle's not allowed anymore. Quote, we might as well put skirts on them then if that's how it's going to be. End quote. Tim Kalischer, how'd you see these disallowed goals last night?
Well, I mean, it sounds like you're making excuses for a team that got beat in 5 games, but the reality is they won game 4, and these happened very early in game 5 before the game had been decided. I don't think either one of those looks like interference. In a game where it's really hard to score, it has to be something that you look at quickly and say, oh, that's obvious. The goalie was completely knocked out of position. If it's something you're isolating in slow motion, did he get touched here? That's not goalie interference, and we see those plays a lot.
Dennis Jr.?
Yeah, I think they were both bad calls. Probably the second one was a little bit worse than the first one. But what really stuck to me was Cooper's comments at the end of the game. You know, what tells about a character is what you say when you're not feeling your best self and when you're a little upset. And for him to say that you should wear, you know, put skirts on him, again, it's 2024. You have to stop equating skirts with negativity, with softness, with something that should not be out there on the ice like that. You cannot be saying things like that. This game is a game. Wins and losses happen, but what you say about those situations is what tells me about who you are, and he made a terrible, terrible comment at that moment.
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, and it's just an unpersuasive argument. Like, the argument about, okay, were these bad calls, totally agree with Tim and David, probably would have gone the other way on those. But to me, Tony, let's keep in mind, as much as these came earlier in the game, they lost 6-1. Okay, and I know there's some empty net goals in there too, but this is against the team, the Florida Panthers, that's clearly just better. They're better, and so what he is guilty of is whining on top of the misogyny, which just feels like an own goal, incidentally, as you might call it.
Mina Kimes.
Yeah, that's the irony, right? Whining the way he did after, the tone of what he said, the language is actually more soft or pathetic than femininity, which is what he equated it to. And it's a shame because I actually think he had a point about the actual call, particularly the second goal, which I thought should have been called a call, and the owner should have been on the Panthers coach to challenge it. But that point was undermined by his choice of words, which were just frankly cringeworthy.
Buy or sell 2, OKC Thunder sweep and complete domination of New Orleans. The shot of the team arriving back in Oklahoma and greeted by fans was something you don't see in the pros. Look at this. Maybe it's what a pro wants. Maybe it's what a pro needs. Did the Thunder have the most impressive round one? And what impressed you most around the horn to David Dennis Jr.?
I think the Thunder probably had the second most impressive round one. I would say number one would go to Timberwolves for how they shut down that Suns offense. But it's still really, really impressive for a team like this young, to win 4 straight games. You often see those slips when you have one bad night. Even the Nuggets had a bad game where they lost to the Lakers. And the OKC Thunder did not let up on that Pelicans team, did not let them score more than 100 points. Yet, Chet Holmgren, within 5 feet of that basket, only allowed 25% field goal percentage when he was defending. Defensively, this team is on a heater right now.
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, SGA, Chet, Jalen Williams, who was excellent also. You know how good you gotta be, Tony, to be likable despite having the worst commercial I've seen.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you 100%.
It's a remarkable thing to come out of that unscathed and better for it, despite being haunted, all of us collectively, by truly an awful, awful scene.
Nita Kimes.
I guess I am mentioning it by not mentioning the commercial that shall not be named. That's the only L that the Thunder have collected over the last week, because they were phenomenal, especially given their age and inexperience, the fact that they were so good in round one, so complete that they held the Pelicans to under 90 points per game is remarkable. Franchise
You
record.
Brought up the word age, and then you said maturity, immaturity, and I understand why. They want it known, while they are the youngest team to ever win a playoff series in the history of the sport, they are not immature. Tim Kalischer, what do you see from these Thunder?
Number one, the commercial's not that bad. Chet's a nice supporting actor in that spot. Number
Tim.
Is they play great defense for a young team. Young players usually aren't great at defense. They play a lot of zone in college. They try not to get in foul trouble in college. This team, over 42 points difference in points off turnovers against New Orleans. They're getting 10 points a night by steals and making plays, and that's going to be a factor moving forward.
There comes that horn, but we have an official ruling to be made. Roll tape.
In terms of the most immediate impact on draft night, that's Michael Penix Jr., because something wacky is going to happen on draft night with this kid. Will the Giants jump up out the window and get him early? Will the Falcons do the same?
Whoa. Did we have a call there? Okay. An accurate prediction from David Dennis Jr. Now, let's be clear. You were not saying that was the right move to make. You were predicting, and you unbelievable. This is going to be great for your season scoring average. David Dennis Jr. advancing to showdown times. Kalishaw, thanks for the time. Dennis, a 40. And Tori, showdown next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
A series doesn't start till the home team wins. Dallas, Vegas, what is this lunacy? Road teams have won every game. Last night decided with Rupe Hintz eating a puck and then a little later getting an empty net goal to seal it. Check this out. David, it's 2-2. Advantage whom?
I'm still giving the advantage to the Dallas Stars. Of course, they just won the last two. Momentum is on their side. They have the best road record in the regular season, 26-10-5. So even if they lose at home, they can still win one on the road.
Pablo Torre.
But they have lost, Tony. The Stars have lost every game at home that Tim Kalishaw has attended. And I've just learned in the break that Tim will be there again for this home game. So I will take the Golden Knights, please, with great statistics.
David,
confidence.
Your argument said they could win on the road, but they're going to need to win a home game to win this series. That's the problem with your argument. Boy, Pablo Torre. Showdown 2, second straight game. The Brewers were on the losing side of a controversy. Sunday, the oven mitt. Monday, the Olay swing. Ninth inning, game on the line. Ball gets away from catcher Rene Pinto. Tying run scored, but Jake Bowers finished swing, hits Pinto's helmet. That was interference on Bowers. That was an out. Brewers lose. Do the Brewers have an argument here, or is Bauer at fault for a loopy swing, Pablo?
The Brewers have a constitutional argument about the spirit of the law. I'm a spirit of the law guy. Yes, technically the catcher got bonked on the head by that backswing, but the point is it didn't make a difference to the play. The Brewers got robbed.
David?
The Brewers got robbed. It has nothing to do with the Constitution. It has to do with the fact that the catcher moved to the side and got in the way of that swing. If he stays put, nobody gets hit. Bad call.
I disagree with you both. That's a loopy swing from Bowers as he can get. It doesn't matter where the ball is. You don't want batters hitting catcher's helmet. Pablo Torre, FaceTime.
So, Tony, the great former Yankee pitcher Fritz Peterson passed away. The announcement came earlier this month. And you may know Fritz as the guy who participated in the Yankee wife swap of 1973. One of the craziest stories, the craziest trade in sports history. On my show, today's episode, it's about the Yankee wife swap. What you might not realize is that Fritz Peterson also was somebody who stayed with the newly swapped other woman, his best friend's wife, for 50 years. It became a tabloid love story.
So two
a love story in the end.
Changed families is what you're saying. It's
yes.
And they stayed together 50 years?
Wow. Yes.
Two kids living for love in a topsy-turvy world.